Welcome back to Girls Next Level, everybody. We had a little week off for 4th of July last week, so yes. Thank you for your patience. But, we're back.
But we missed you guys.
Oh, 100%. It was hard not to post. It was hard to post something saying we weren't going to post.
Yeah.
Felt like we were letting you guys down. But anyway, what did you do for 4th of July, Bridget?
We had like a little barbecue and pool time, the usual. I had this cute little 4th of July headband, like bow thing.
And it's very Minnie Mouse ears. Style.
I know, like. But I like it. Yeah, like
no,
that.
I love it. Me too.
How about you?
4th of July was fun. I was with the kids in Malibu, and they have a really great 4th of July out there because there's like fireworks, there's like a golf cart parade and stuff like that.
But That's fun.
Yeah. Our day was all about cookies, though. I got crumble cookies because they had the 4th of July flavors, and we made cookies because my son wanted to like have a cookie stand and stuff.
Wait, what are 4th of July flavors?
Well, they have like a America's birthday cake flavor, which is like birthday cake, buttercream frosting, and then like the red, white, and blue sprinkles.
Yum!
And then the other ones were just kind of like very all-American flavors. Like they had one called Cowboy, which I didn't get because it has nuts in it, and I hate nuts and cookies.
Oh.
But they had like a brownie sundae that was very like, you know, all-American looking, and a chocolate chip, and...
Wait, did they have an apple pie cookie?
No, they should have. They had a strawberry shortcake one, though, which was the best one.
Yum.
So good. And then after that, I went to Santa Barbara with my boyfriend. And I have to tell you, the funny thing about Santa Barbara is I love it so much. But I remember the first time I really saw Santa Barbara and thought anything of it was when we took that bus up to the Madonna Inn for Anastasia's birthday. And we stopped there for like a second. And I'd been through Santa Barbara before because my family and I would always do road trips to Southern California. So I think we even stopped and like stayed in a hotel one night, but didn't like get out and see the city or anything. And we stopped there when we were going for Anastasia's birthday on the bus. And I remember we wanted coffee and nobody could find a Starbucks there back then. So we had to get coffee at McDonald's. And I remember looking, we were in kind of like the downtown area. And I remember thinking it was really beautiful.
Yeah.
Like, it's gorgeous there. But at the time, I remember thinking, even though it's gorgeous, I could never live here. It's so, like, old. It's, like, old people vibes. There's not even a Starbucks. Like, slow vibes. Cut to 15 years later, this bitch fucking loves Santa Barbara. Like, I'm obsessed. I wish the California portion of my life was in Santa Barbara instead of LA. Like, I love it.
Well, it could be.
Yeah, it could be.
Well, remember what we did do in Santa Barbara is we went to Bubblegum Alley.
Wait, I thought that was up in like, why am I thinking that was like the one in San Luis Obispo?
No, I'm pretty sure it's Santa Barbara.
Oh, weird. I thought that was San Luis Obispo for some reason.
I could be wrong, but confused. I thought that was in Santa Barbara.
We'll find out when we get to season 5.
I know.
We'll figure it out when we finally get there.
We got a ways to go.
Yeah. So right now we are finally on the last episode of season 1. It took us a minute to get here, but it's been a fun journey. Thank you guys for joining us. This episode is called It's Vegas, Baby. It's the second episode where we go to Las Vegas, which kind of became our second home on the show, I feel like. It originally aired on December 4th, 2005, back when George W. Bush was still president. Besides the girls next door, people were watching CSI Miami and The OC.
You know what's funny? I was thinking, wait, isn't CSI Miami still on?
I think it is, probably.
No, I looked it up.
Oh, it's not?
Because I was like, does CSI Miami still, is that still on? But it stopped in 2012. But why do I have it in my head that that is still on?
Because CSI is just such a staple. I was on CSI Las Vegas. I had one line. It consisted of warning people that there was a shark in the pool.
Oh, in the pool?
Well, there's a pool in Vegas downtown at the Golden Nugget where they have like a shark tank in the middle of the pool, obviously separate from the pool, but there's a water slide that goes through the shark tank.
Oh.
So in this episode, a shark somehow gets out and I alert everyone.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's a very important role.
You know what else was funny is the other cameo in that episode was Dead Mouse, the DJ with the big mouse mask, in case anybody doesn't know, but it actually wasn't him.
What?
Like you just sent somebody else to be in the mask.
Get out of here.
So the trip to Vegas was the very last thing we filmed for season 1. We filmed it in early November of 2005. So it was only a month before it aired. So the turnaround for everybody behind the scenes to get this done and edited must have been crazy.
They must have been running tapes over as we were filming it.
Like, I know.
Over to the editing bay.
It's like us when we record a podcast like the day before it comes out. I'm like, let's not do that. So we would have a 5-month break before we started filming again for season 2. And in a future episode, we'll cover all the drama that happened during that time period before we start season 2, because it was a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm. And we were busy in that time period.
Oh, absolutely. A lot of stuff going on. And for a while, if somebody asked me, like right after we were done filming season one, I might have said to people that this was my favorite episode, just remembering the fashion show, because it was something that, you know, once I had done it, looking back on it, I was like, oh, that's really cool that I kind of got to do something by myself and like have my own moment in the show. Because mm-hmm. I kind of feel like this was the only one.
Yeah.
In season one. Like, I know there were other episodes, like episode one or episode nine, where they're like, oh, that's your episode, but I didn't really feel like it so much.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't say this is my favorite episode now.
But we can get into all of that, too. We'll do, like, a show recap and, like, talk about the whole season.
Yeah, our favorite and our least favorite. One of the reasons I don't love this episode is it includes the cold open from hell.
Yeah.
And let's tell the listeners, in case they don't know, what is a cold open?
It's just like a quick little disjointed scene that like has nothing to do with actually what we're doing usually.
Well, I think sometimes it can have, I think on a more normal show, it probably has something to do with what's going on, but the show is kind of a mess. So, yeah. And in this case, this was probably the most disjointed of all the cold opens.
Yeah, it was just sort of like a quick, well, maybe you better end up describing it.
It's like it's a shorter scene. Although sometimes, have you ever watched a TV show or a movie where you realize like a half hour into the show, then they show the title and you're like, holy shit, that was the world's longest cold open.
Yes.
So sometimes that happens, but usually it's a really short scene that happens to get the viewer hooked right before they show the title card and the theme song and whatever else the intro entails.
In our case, for our show, it was usually something just very quirky and funny. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh my gosh, this is going to be so silly.
Yeah. So this one, like I said, it's super disjointed because it has nothing to do with the rest of the episode.
Yeah. So it starts out in front of the mansion and Kendra comes walking out and she's carrying like this plastic butt and she's going over to wash her car.
I remember her having that butt. I didn't even notice it in the scene, but I remember that butt being a thing. I don't know why she has it in the scene.
It's so confusing to me because I could see if it was like in her car, like she used it for mm-hmm. something and she was taking it out, but she's actually walking it out to her car before she washes it.
Maybe she's just putting it in there or wanted to use it for something and didn't get around to, but that's funny.
Yeah, so she's gonna wash her car.
And this scene came about, it was something she really wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
I remember we used to have meetings with Kevin in the dining room where he would ask us, what are you doing in the next few months? Or what do you guys want to do on the show? What do you think we could do? And the one thing Kendra always lobbied for was, I want to do a sexy car wash scene.
I loved those meetings because I would come with a whole binder full of ideas.
Oh yeah, you were super full of ideas.
But the thing they were looking for, and it was more of something that had a story arc to it, not just like a specific scene, like I want to mm-hmm. wash a car. They were looking for stuff that like that would have a whole arc for either the whole episode or even for the whole series of the show. Like something like, I want to get my PhD. So then they would have been like, oh, that's a great idea. We'll follow you trying to, you know, do that. And it'll take the whole series mm-hmm. to get there or something. I'm obviously just making that up.
Yeah.
But they wanted like whole arcs like that. Not just like, oh, I want to do a scene where I'm washing my dog or something. You know, that would be like a scene. And yeah, maybe we can do that. But what are the actual storylines here?
Yeah. And they let Kendra do that scene, but I feel like you're right. Usually, like if I would have said I want to do a scene and it's just something that's sexy, Kevin would have been like, okay, but why do you want to wash a car? Why are you not going to the car wash? Like he'd always want to know what the deeper reason was.
Yeah.
Or he would go, snore. Because he was not shy about vetoing our ideas and saying they were boring. And that was the way he would say it, was snore.
Yeah.
I feel like my equivalent of this scene is like me learning to drive Hef's car. And he was okay with me doing that because he wanted everything I did to be about Hef or connected back to Hef or an excuse to show a cool Hef flashback or something.
Well, and that storyline could also have future implications, like you driving a stick or you like maybe even taking over Hef's car and it being your car from there on. It had potential to be a longer story arc.
Yeah, that's true.
In my opinion.
Yeah.
But he was always looking for those deeper meanings for scenes.
100%. Which is smart.
Yeah, for sure. Because I'd never seen her wash her car before and she never washed it again. But she acts like it's a thing that she's too lazy. She's actually too lazy to go to the car wash, that she'd rather just wash it herself.
But that's not real.
That's not real either, because somebody's got to connect all the hoses and somebody's got to get the buckets and the soap and the towels and get everything ready. And then I don't feel like we ever actually even see her wash the car. It just is wet and she's drying it and dancing around, which is totally fine.
Yeah.
And a totally Kendra scene. And I'm not hating on that at all. And they make it look like staff and specifically security is like gawking at her and stuff. But I guarantee you, you guys, that was not happening. Security would never.
Oh, yeah. They were never that disrespectful. In fact, I know that cutaway you're talking about. And I bet you anything it was filmed either on a different day or like before she even got out there.
Yeah. I feel like it's like a setup for a party when they're like getting ready and they're like discussing who's parking in the circle and like that kind of thing. It had nothing to do with this scene or Kendra being out there.
But the reason this scene is awkward at best is because Kendra's wearing a Confederate flag shirt.
Yeah.
And I just want to preface this conversation to say that there's no way we're going to be able to address this topic in a way that's completely satisfying, especially from our perspective as two white girls. But it is something we don't like. So I think it's fair to mention that.
Right.
And if we aren't addressing this in the right way, feel free to let us know. Like, I don't ever want to have any ego tied up in things like this. And we always want to do better. So let us know. Like, for example, with the homies thing in episode 10, you know, back then when I was doing the scene, I thought that the politically correct way to say, you know, oh, they're not supposed to be white is, oh, they're ethnic.
Yeah.
And at the time that seemed appropriate. But somebody pointed out to me, they pointed me toward an article where somebody was talking about how if a white person is describing other groups as ethnic, it can come off sounding like you're making it sound like white people are the quote unquote normal.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, that completely makes sense.
Yeah.
So I feel like I'm always learning like new perspectives, or there would be ways, you know, we're saying or doing things that we're not really thinking about the full implications. So I always appreciate that. And I apologize to anybody that might've been offended by that comment. But that being said, we also don't want to ignore the things on the show that we're not proud of.
Right, exactly. And there was people wondering, like I've had people approach me before and say, why didn't you stop that scene or why didn't you say something to her or whatever? But I wasn't even there when this was filmed. And the first I heard about it is I came home later that day and there was like a buzz going on in the pantry. Like everybody was just like mumbling about stuff and there was like a weird energy. And I was like, what is going on? They're like, oh, you didn't hear? And I'm like, no, what? And they're like, oh, Kendra was outside washing her car in a Confederate flag shirt. And like people were pissed, like staff. And butlers were upset. And they said that they sent somebody out to go say something to her.
That's interesting because I have in my notes, I was going to ask you what you thought Bryant was probably thinking during this scene. Because I noticed when Bryant, the butler, walks out to talk to Kendra, he has this really strained look on his face. And I was like, why is that? Like, is he dreading the fact that he was asked to go out and do this scene? Is he like, oh shit, I'm probably going to get sprayed or like smacked with soap or something like that? Or is he trying to look extra stoic because he doesn't want to be seen as like too flirty with Mr. Hefner's girlfriend? Not that he would have ever been, but you know, sometimes when you're under the microscope, you just want to make sure you look professional. But I wonder if that had anything to do with it. I don't know.
I'm not sure because I wasn't there, but I know that they said they sent somebody out to say something to her. So I kind of assume maybe this is, that was him coming out to say something. Obviously they don't film it.
Yeah.
But I could also see that he's worried that he's going to get sprayed or bubbles thrown on him or something.
Yeah. So who knows? But yeah, we just wanted to say that we don't align with that and what it stands for, and we wish it wasn't in the show.
But we also feel like we have to address it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, I know you said prior to this next scene that you had gone to Vegas ahead of time. Mm-hmm. They don't film it.
Yeah.
You have to go there for rehearsals and fittings and all that kind of stuff. And then you come back and then you fly back again with us the next morning.
Yeah, which is so dumb. Like, why couldn't I have just stayed the night and met up with you guys? And why couldn't they have filmed that? And what's it like being away from a guy you've not spent a day away from in 5 years? And what's Hef doing when you're like, that could have been a whole thing. But I'm just convinced they just hated me and did not want to feature me. Either that or Hef just laid down the law and was like, no, she absolutely can't be gone for one night.
I just assumed it was Hef being like, you can't be gone for a night because it leads up into the next day where we go. And they doesn't show us on the plane at all, but I have pictures. We obviously took a private jet to Vegas and they don't show any of that, which I think is interesting too. Maybe they think they got enough private jet moments. Yeah. But I feel like in a show like this, there's never enough private jet moments. Like they live for this stuff, you know?
Yeah, and you just, even if it was just a quick, like sped up shot of us walking onto the plane and walking back off, I feel like it's weird to just go from washing a car at the mansion to, we're in Vegas, boom.
Yeah.
It's odd. It's like we're missing a beat.
We're literally arriving in Vegas in the limo. Like there was no plane, there was no nothing.
it's confusing.
And there's no talk of you doing that fashion show or going for the rehearsal mm-hmm. or anything. There's none of that. I mean, in the commentary, we talk about it and stuff, but there's in this episode, there's just none of it.
Yeah.
In there. So we're arriving to Vegas in the limo.
We pass Hugh Hefner Drive, which I'm shocked that sign is still there, by the way, because the Palms is like two owners later.
Yeah.
There's a lot of corny street names in Vegas, I will say. Like more than any other city. Well, I mean, there's some that I love. Like around the strip, you have like Sammy Davis Jr. Boulevard and Frank Sinatra and Dean Martin and all that. Love that because it's so Vegas history. I also love the other corny ones because like in Henderson, there's like a group of residential streets that are all named after Pokemon.
So oh my gosh, I heard about this. Jigglypuff
Avenue and like Pikachu Street and stuff like that. There's also a Star Wars one over like in Spring Valley area where like things are named after Star Wars characters.
That is so funny.
So it's super cool.
Yeah. Well, I mean, maybe it takes a lot to get a street name changed once it's already designated.
Yeah, it might be just a pain in the butt. And the street that's named after him is really just like a driveway that goes into the parking garage. It's not like a...
Yeah.
Full street. So maybe it's just not like not on anybody's agenda.
Yeah. Or maybe they just think it's cool still.
Yeah.
So we're in the limo. We are with Crystal Camden, Jillian Grace, and Keith Hefner. They all came with us. And we see a bunch of the Vegas Strip landmarks.
And we're talking about the Palms, and it shows this weird, like, 3D render of the Palms.
Yes. Oh, no, I have, like notes.
Phantom people in there. It's so weird.
I say in an interview that Hef took us to Vegas to help promote the Playboy Club opening in Vegas. This Playboy Club will be the first one in the world since the 1980s. And you say the Palms is opening a second tower that'll include a Playboy Casino and Playboy Club. Then in mid-sentence, it switches to me saying, and Playboy Suites, as if it's your same sentence. Did you notice this?
No, that's weird. Dang.
Weird.
They just couldn't get a sentence out of us, huh?
Yeah, and then they show the graphic designs like you were talking about of what it will look like. And did you see there was a naked woman in the shower in their graphic designs?
That's so funny. Oh my God.
So funny. We get out of the limo. We're at the Palms. The marquee is up. It says Palms, 4th anniversary weekend, welcomes Hugh Hefner, Roberto Cavalli, and 2006 Playboy calendar playmates.
And then I love how Kendra says, it should have said Kendra, Holly, and Bridget.
Right.
And she goes, but it didn't.
Right.
And I think that's interesting because we're already on a TV show that's the number one show on a major cable network, but they don't think we're worthy of mentioning.
And we
Instead, it's like Playboy Calendar Playmates.
And we are the celebrity pictorial, and we're going to be doing a signing later. Mm-hmm. And so we're definitely being featured in Vegas that weekend, but not on the Palms marquee.
Yeah.
Later we will be, but mm-hmm. not yet. So everything takes a lot of time for us.
Yeah, for sure.
Then you say, in honor of the new tower, they are going to have a new version of the bunny costume designed by Roberto Cavalli.
And I loved Roberto Cavalli. He was my favorite designer. And so I was super excited about it. And the reason they wanted to update these bunny costumes for Vegas is the people at the Palms thought the bunny costume was just not sexy.
Really?
Yeah. Because I think in like the Vegas mindset, like to be sexy, it has to be like as skimpy as possible. Like some of the cocktail waitress outfits are super, super skimpy. Like the one I think about that I always look at and I'm like, ugh, it's jarring, is there's this casino called South Point way down at the south end of the strip. It's like where they have all the rodeos and stuff. And the cocktail waitress outfits kind of look like an 1890s corset with like black stockings. And then the back is like not quite a thong. Like it's not going in your butt, but it's a very narrow strip.
Oh, like a Brazilian
type
thing.
Yeah. So I feel like they're just looking for like skimpier, but of course Playboy doesn't really want a butt. They want it to look like a classic Playboy bunny costume.
As it should. Maybe updated, but still look like it.
But I thought Roberto did a good job. Like, I loved what they look like. The one major difference I noticed wearing the new costume is they are cut so low. It's like a struggle to keep your nipples in.
Oh, shit.
They're cut super, super low.
Well, I had a few questions about this.
Yes.
First, I feel like you should tell people who Roberto Cavalli is, just in case they don't know.
Yeah, he's a major fashion designer. I could think of something really recently he did that I'm obsessed with. He did the 1989 section of the Taylor Swift Eras Tour costume, the one, it's like a two-piece, and it's all like beaded and rhinestone and fringy. I'm excited about everything Taylor wears on the Eras Tour, so I just had to point that out.
And then I was curious if you know how this collaboration came to be.
I don't know. I just know that like Playboy licensing was always trying to go a little more upscale. Like I know for the 50th anniversary, they had designers do special edition things. Like Versace did a dress and a set of shoes for the 50th anniversary. And they had a couple other designers do some things. So I think it was something like a reach out, like a let's collab type of a deal.
Yeah, well, I thought the designs of the new bunny costumes were really amazing. And so you were super excited because you get to wear one of them in the fashion show. And I was wondering, how did this come to be?
I don't remember, and I'm kind of stumped by it because it's definitely something I would have had to push for. Mm-hmm. Like, it's definitely, like, Hef would have never been like, okay, we're having this fashion show in Vegas. Like, I don't even think he would have weighed in on who was in the fashion show. Like, Playmate Promotions or George Maloof at the Palms would have probably picked. He would have never been like, oh, Holly's favorite designer is Roberto Cavalli and she loves the bunny costume. She should be in the show. He would never have done that. So it would have had to be something that I asked for and pushed for. And I'm not really sure how I even knew they were doing a fashion show and that some women would be modeling the costume. It must have been Pat Lacey telling me. Pat Lacey was the head of Playmate Promotions and she was in charge of all the bunny costumes and everybody who worked as a bunny, and she must have like told me this was happening, and I must have been like, oh, I really want to be in that fashion show. Like, maybe I could do that for the show.
Yeah. I feel like it's also something that definitely could have been found out by being down in Mary's office
and I think
seeing
so
things
too.
Come through there, because all of this would have been approved by Hef. He might not have been involved in like exactly who does it, but all of this would have gone through approvals and having Hef there and all that kind of stuff. So
yeah, for sure. And I was thinking about why this was such a big deal to me. And I think out of the three of us, I was probably the most into fashion. Like, I'm definitely not a fashion girly. Like, I wear Hot Topic fangirl merch half the time. In fact, right now I'm wearing an Unsolved Mysteries tank top with Robert Stack's face on it. So I'm definitely not a fashion girly. But I feel like at the time, like, I was the one who was, like, subscribing to the fashion magazines. And, like, not that everything I bought was expensive. Hell no. Like, I bought a ton of cheap shit. I was always super, you know, trying to save money and things like that. But I would still buy like designer stuff now and again. And I don't think that's something you or Kendra really cared about. Correct me if I'm wrong.
No, not at all. I don't think I had any designer things at this point.
And I think it's funny too, because I was thinking that as I was watching this, well, I can see why I would want to be in it, because I was like more into fashion than you guys. But also, I'm wearing the most whack outfit in the beginning of this episode.
Oh.
It's like the weirdest thing. It's like jeans and then a white button down with a corset over it. And not only is it horrific, but I think I wore it more than once. Like, I think I really like this outfit, and it's very much on trend. There was this really gross trend in the 2000s. Where people would wear and layer things that were never meant to be worn and layered. Like, you always see those memes of like people, like Disney stars on the red carpet in the 2000s, and they're wearing like jeans with like a full sundress over the jeans.
Oh.
Do you remember that? How people were just like stacking stuff?
Yeah.
And then they'd wear like an infinity scarf, and it was just stuff that was never meant to go with each other in any way, but it was like a thing to layer all that stuff in the 2000s. This is an example, and it's bad.
Well, I was curious if you were worried that they were going to let all of us do it. Because I feel like it was definitely more your thing. And I feel like you were definitely more into the designer thing and stuff. But I think it's something that all of us would have enjoyed doing.
Well, two of us would have enjoyed. Only because one refused to wear the bunny costume.
That's true. That is true. But I think she would have
totally wanted to be center of attention.
Wanted to do this.
Yeah. It didn't even occur to me at all. I felt like even if you guys were put in the fashion show too, that wouldn't have bothered me. It was just, I knew it was something I really wanted to do. And I think when I asked to do it, like I said, I don't even remember how it came about. I'm just assuming it was Pat Lacey telling me. I just kind of felt like I got in under the skin of my teeth, and it was really important for them to also have like Tiffany in it, because she was the Playmate of the Year. And maybe they had already started even fitting some of the other girls who were in the show.
Yeah.
But I did think that the pink retro bunny costume that Lauryn Hill wore would have been perfect on you.
Oh, so cute.
So cute.
When they show it in the episode, I'm like, oh, that one's really cute.
It's adorable.
Well, I was just curious because, I mean, I was legitimately happy for you. Like, uh-huh. You got this on, like, you got to do this by yourself. It's finally something you're being featured in. And, like, I'm all about being supportive of those kinds of things mm-hmm. and stuff. But I was thinking back to, like, at that time, and I was kind of surprised that they weren't either one pushing for all of us to do it mm-hmm. or it being a bigger deal that just you were doing it.
Yeah, it's interesting.
So we pull up, we get out of the limo, Kendra screams, "Party time!" And we take that picture with the big marquee. And I don't know why I didn't think of this before, but this is Kendra's first time where she gets to go to like the clubs. And everything, she says it in the commentary. This is my first time going to the clubs. And I was thinking, oh my God, this is her first time. Obviously, she came to Vegas with us uh-huh. before, but we were just out by the pool and stuff. Yeah. Like, there were no clubs and that kind of thing going on. And she says she even got to meet a couple of Yankees baseball players.
Mm-hmm. And she's not 21 yet, you guys.
Which is what I wanted to talk about. Because I get tons of messages from people saying, how does the show get away with consistently showing Kendra drinking alcohol in like every episode? And she's not 21.
Yeah, it's just no one cared. And don't get me wrong, guys. Like, I don't care. I'm not sitting here finger wagging. Like, people drink in college all the time. People drink whatever. If somebody wants to drink, I don't care. But just the rules being what they are and the laws being what they are and the fact that technically he could get in trouble for contributing to a minor, it's just bizarre to me that no one cared. Someone did care, though, and that's the Nevada Gaming Commission.
Yeah, that's coming up.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that in a little bit. I'm like, don't say it yet. But I mean, I do remember there being something at the start when we first started doing this show that Kendra needed to like not act like she was drinking with us, like she needed to like try and keep it toned down, but that never once happened.
No, never.
Never. She was always all about the drinking and everything. And then it shows us walking through the casino and all of the flash bulbs going off and walking through the ground floor of the Palms. It like just one of those things where we say teleporting. Like
I can smell the stale cigarette smoke right now.
Me too. Like I could smell it. I could feel it. Like I was like, oh my God, I'm back in the Palms lobby right now. It was always such a thing when we walked through those doors and like the flashbulbs all going off, everybody stopping. It was like the record went on the, you know, scratched on the, it was always like crazy. And that just really, really took me back. And we're staying in the Hugh Hefner suite. This is still the older Hugh Hefner suite because the new one, as we were saying earlier, in the new tower is not up yet. And in commentary, we talk about how much we enjoy bringing our friends along on the trips.
Yes.
And because there's so many people in the room, like it shows our room. There is press in there. There's PR in there. There's like the hotel people. There's everybody we brought with us. There's Hef staff, security. Like there's just so many people in the room. It's kind of funny. Like here we are, we're in our room, but there's tons of people everywhere.
Yeah.
And that was just kind of the way our life was, especially when we were traveling. There was just tons of people around all the time. But what I really wanted to point out here too is what a difference it makes when we bring other people along on the trip. Like how nice it was to have like Crystal Camden with us and Jillian. And
it really felt like it took some of the pressure off in a way.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. It was great. And just Jillian is so cute. I wrote down, Jillian is a Disney princess. She's just so cute. And she has this cute little like high-pitched voice that's not fake. And it's just, and Crystal looks so pretty. And this is when they give Crystal a lower third for the first time, right?
I think so, because I didn't notice it before ever. So I think this is the first time.
Yeah. So a lower third, if you don't know, it's when they do that bar at the bottom of the screen and they have the person's name and something about them that kind of identifies who they are. And I remember back in the day, they used to do this to Crystal and Stacey Burke, and it used to really bother me. They would write their name, and the way they would identify them underneath, they wouldn't write their job. They wouldn't write that they were your friend. They'd write, Hef's former girlfriend, and it grossed me out for a couple different reasons. I know why they're doing it. They're doing it because in reality TV, you always want to go for the shock value, the freak show value, the weirdness of this lifestyle. So people at home are watching and are like, wait, he has three girlfriends, but he was with her too? And she still hangs out? What?
Yeah.
Like, that's why they're doing it.
Yeah.
But it always kind of grossed me out because I felt like it was really reductive for those women. Like, yes. Really, that's the only thing you can think to say about them, and that's how they're defined for the rest of their lives, is Hef's former girlfriend. And the other reason it really bothered me is I felt that for especially Crystal and Stacy specifically, I know they both have fond feelings toward Hef and they liked hanging out and they liked the lifestyle, but I feel like the main anchor reason they were still there was because they were your friend. And they had this really close friendship with you. And it's not enough to say Bridget's friend.
Right.
Like, I felt like that was kind of like reducing you too, or reducing us that we're still friends. Like, it can't ever be about the female bond. It has to be like Hef's former conquest. He stuck his dick in this one too. And I was just grossed out by it.
Yeah.
And I know like Stacy doesn't mind. Actually, when she was interviewed for the Playboy murders, they billed her as I forget the exact words, but it was like Hef's ex-girlfriend or something. And I think Stacy actually prefers that. Like, I think it might be in her bio or something on Instagram that she's like Hef's. So I don't know how it made those women feel, but I remember at the time I was just grossed out. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
I just felt like it was very, you know, condescending and reductive and just gross.
Yeah, because at the time when they were no longer one of Hef's girlfriends, I really lobbied for them to keep coming around and keep doing things with us and everything. It wasn't Hef going, you know who we need to get is Stacy to come back or Crystal to come back. Like, I was pushing for them to stay in our lives and come and hang out with us because I enjoyed doing stuff with them and I enjoyed their friendship and I liked having them around. And like you said, it takes some of the pressure off of us and it's not all about just the three of us having to get along all the time. And so I liked having that. Plus, I was very lonely at the mansion. So having other people there to hang out with and stuff was what kept me afloat.
Yeah, for sure. And speaking of Jillian, she was in the Playboy Vegas calendar that was out and a bunch of Playmates were there doing a signing for that. That's why it was on the marquee. And I have to say, I loved that calendar so much. I still have a copy of it, even though I'm not in it. It's still like in my archive with all the other stuff. I thought that was the cutest calendar. And you guys, if you look it up, you're going to die laughing because it's so dated now. Like every accessory, it's so 2005. But I thought it was just the hottest, like best calendar Playboy had ever put out. And like Jillian's picture especially, and like Cara Monaco's, I just thought everything about it was so cute. I just loved it.
That's so funny because I don't remember. I have zero recollection of not even one picture in the calendar.
Oh my God, I could tell you almost every picture. Steve Wada shot it and it was just like, it like looked really like fresh and exciting and now. And so few things in Playboy looked now.
Yeah.
So I loved it.
So Kendra screams out, time to take a shower. And I laugh and say, oh yeah, that looks familiar. And then they flash back to us when we went, just the girls, in that shower, getting all crazy and being all...
Yeah, and I thought that was kind of a cute moment that we were referencing that. Because as a viewer, I'm kind of like, wait, why are they hearkening back to like a couple episodes ago? That's dumb. But what it really shows is what a big deal watching the show was in our lives and how monumental the show was in our lives. And the fact that people were seeing this and they knew about the shower scene. That's why for us, it's a big deal when we go back and we point to Hef and like, that's the shower. That's the shower. It's because we'd been watching the episode, the rough cuts, and watching it with Hef's friends at home. And everybody was like excited and supportive about it. And
yeah. Totally. And then Kendra says, I wonder if they cleaned the sheets. We did a lot of dirty things on there. But what is she even talking about?
I think she's just trying to be funny because we didn't do shit. Unless there's something going on I didn't know about.
I'm like, we didn't even...
For the 3 hours we were in that room.
I know. We didn't even sleep there. So like, what?
Can I also say, because everybody's changing or talking about changing.
Yeah.
Jillian is wearing this cute spandex dress. And I loved those dresses. They were just these cheap ass dresses you'd get on Melrose that were like spandex and cute. And also me talking about, I was the most into fashion. And then 2 seconds later, I'm like, I love Jillian's spandex dress.
That was $12 on Melrose.
I know. I'm all over the place, guys.
No, we all had those dresses and we had them in various colors.
They were versatile and they did the trick and they were flattering.
Yeah, they were everything.
Why is Kendra screaming at Jillian and Crystal to not change?
I don't know, but we're changing. Okay, I should also tell you guys that this whole schedule, no surprise, it shouldn't be a surprise by now, is all out of order too, yeah. The way it's shot. The schedule is all off, so we did other things this day, and some of the things we did this day is actually not till tomorrow, so that should be no surprise to you. But yeah, Kendra starts yelling at them for changing, and I know we're changing, mm-hmm. but I think that's because we went and did different things. I don't know. The whole thing is all messed up, but she's definitely screaming at them for changing, and I'm not sure why. Well, I know I was changing because I was definitely in a more casual outfit, and I switch into something, I say looser, because we're going to go to the Nine for dinner, and I'm super excited, so I want room to eat, because we all know I eat. And in commentary, though, this is weird because we all talk about things that we lost that weekend. Kendra's wearing this hat and she's mm-hmm. loved this hat. And she says she lost it. I lost some shoes. And you say you lost a $300 purse. We'll have to see what purse you were holding if it shows earlier in that night.
Yeah, I don't know. It's so strange. And then I said I got so drunk that I'm never drinking again, which, of course, I drank again. But I was so drunk. But it's also weird because I was sick that weekend. You can hear the hoarseness in my voice when I'm doing narration mm-hmm. and confessional as well. So I'm sick, but I also am super excited about doing this fashion show. But I also have to be by Hef's side and be like the perfect little person and do the signing and all the things that we're doing that weekend. And I'm also drinking myself into oblivion. Like, how the fuck did I do all that?
Well, you say in commentary that you're going to feel like shit anyway, so you might as well drink.
That is true.
And then for some reason, Kendra and I are having a discussion about haters in the room during this whole like changing scene, and it makes zero sense to me. I don't even know who we're talking about. It makes it look like we're talking about Jillian and Crystal after they walk out the room. But like, I know we're not talking about them.
Yeah.
I don't know if we're talking about the disappearance of some of our stuff and like somebody pretending somebody came in and like took it and they must be haters.
Yeah.
I don't think is the case either. I don't think anybody came and stole anything. I think I found my shoes. I think you leave your purse in the hardwood suite later. Uh-huh. And I think Kendra just doesn't pack up her stuff and left the hat in the room later. So I don't think anybody was there like stealing our stuff. But I just don't know what that whole scene is about. And then Kendra says, Bridget, I think this is the worst I've ever looked in my whole life. And I say, no, that's bullshit, Kendra. You looked worse yesterday. But we all laugh and we joke. I was joking, you guys. I was kidding. They let me get a joke in there. And finally, we're out the door.
And they play the Scooby-Doo walking noise.
Oh, I didn't notice.
It's like, I don't know how to describe this noise. I don't know if it's a rattling or what, but it's like,
oh, yeah.
I can't even make the noise, but it's like a noise like when Scooby-Doo runs in the cartoon.
Yeah.
That's the noise they make when we walk, which I love.
And this is the same restaurant we talked about before, which is the Nine Steakhouse, which was a part of Morton's of Chicago, which we were so excited to eat at in Chicago. And it's delicious. We had every reason to be super excited.
I feel like Nine is the first place I ever had a steak that actually tasted good, aka I didn't want to drown it in A1 sauce.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I feel like there were some places that we had in LA earlier on that also qualified, but no question Nine is amazing.
Well, I think I ate at Nine before I ate at like Mastro's. Vegas is better with steaks than any other place. Like, I know you wouldn't think it would be that way, but it's just like you will flop if you are a steakhouse in Vegas and your steak isn't amazing.
I've never had a bad steak in Vegas.
Yeah.
So here we go. I know this is going to be one of Holly's favorite scenes.
Oh, God.
Keith orders some caviar.
The fact, because our producer, Kevin Burns, thought that the best scene you could ever do in Girls Next Door that was just comedy gold was someone with an unsophisticated palate trying a fancy food and gagging. Like, he just thought that was comedy gold. He thought it was the best thing ever. And I think it's so dumb. Like, I get the contrast of it. I get why somebody would think that was funny on a sitcom in 1965. But I just think it's the dumbest fucking thing ever. And it's not even that I hate it so much. It's that I hate that it's always this scene that feels really long and drawn out. And it's not even just that it's this scene. It's that this was a theme that kept going throughout the entire series. Like, I remember in season 2 when we were having a meeting and discussing like the fact that we were going to go to Europe and all the cool things we were going to get to go in Europe, Kevin like stops in his tracks and is like, oh, Like, he just thought of the best fucking thing. Like, out of anything we could do on this multi-city European tour, he just thought of the best fucking thing.
Yeah.
What is it, Kevin? Are we going to Pompeii? Are we exploring the depths of the catacombs underneath Paris? What are we doing? I know. Kendra trying escargot. And he's, like, practically jizzing in his pants. And I'm right. Like, what the fuck am I giving my time to?
I know. And on one hand, I can relate to this because as much as I love to eat, I'm also very kind of particular eater. And I don't like a lot of crazy things. I call them crazy. Like, I don't eat caviar. I don't eat escargot. I don't like things that I think I'm not going to like. And so I have a kind of, Nick calls it a kindergartner's palate. But that's okay. Like, yeah, I know that about me. And it's fine. But Kendra says she hates seafood and she would never want to try seafood. That's what she says. And then, but with caviar, she's wondering what black little balls taste like. That's what she says. Okay. And then... It's like this big moment. Will she try it? Will she not? It's like bum, bum, bum. The tension is building.
Oh, my God.
It's in her hand. The drum roll begins, literally, you guys. She takes a tiny nibble, and she makes the scariest face I've ever seen her make. In commentary, though, Kendra says it wasn't that bad. You would be fooled by her face, though.
Yeah.
And you say that you like it, and I just say, I'm just going to stay away. Jillian tries it. She shrugs and says, tastes like fish.
Yeah.
And Crystal doesn't want any because, as she said before, she's like a super strict vegetarian. Mm-hmm. She doesn't do fish either. She tries to hand it to me and I say, I don't want it.
This scene, it made me think of something that I wanted to ask you. You know, this show was an amazing opportunity for us, but it's a show that in some ways I would never have watched. In some ways, I feel like I would have watched it. Like back in the 90s, growing up, if there would have been a show about the Playboy Mansion starring like Anna Nicole Smith and two other girls, would I have watched that? Fuck yes. And it probably would have been my favorite show. Mm-hmm. Just from like the lifestyle aspect and curiosity about those women and stuff like that. But when it comes to like the plot lines of Girls Next Door and like the humor of Girls Next Door and just the absolute lack of depth.
Yeah. You know, I'm on the fence whether I would have watched it or not. Part of me thinks I never really watched too much reality TV at all, period. I still don't. So on that hand, I feel like I would have never have watched it, but I was so into Playboy and wanting to be a part of that world that I think anything that had Playboy in it, I was all about. So I think I definitely would have watched it on that behalf because I wanted to see life at the mansion and what Hef was like and the pictorials and the rooms and the clothes and the, you know, like you said, the lifestyle of it all.
Yeah. And then I come back around and I think, well, there's nothing wrong with TV that's like just because I think so many like viewers that I talk to and stuff, like they just want something to wind down to at the end of a Sunday night. I mean, back then it wasn't really the case, but now it would be the kind of show you can watch and enjoy, but also scroll your phone.
Yeah.
Like I feel that way about sometimes I'll have like the Kardashians on in the background and it's kind of fun to see what they're doing, but I can also look at my phone and do something else. And I think there's a value to that kind of entertainment as well.
Well, I think people really loved it because it was very positive too. Like it didn't show all this negative stuff and the drama and all the drama was very just kind of tongue in cheek and cute and funny and you knew it was going to prevail at the end. I feel like a lot of people watched it for escapism for that reason.
Yeah, but I think my frustration comes from when you're on the other end of it. Like, I always need something to, like, sink my teeth into. Like, I can't just take something for the surface value. It needs to be, like, bigger and better and have more depth. And I feel like you could do a show that's really lighthearted and you don't have to pay attention to. And it's just the dumb show you watch at the end of the day to wind down. It makes you feel good. But you can also do it in layers for the people who are paying attention. Like The Simpsons, it's a silly cartoon, but there's a lot of like really smart humor and whether it's intentional or unintentional, future predicting, like there's a lot there. And I think I was just really frustrated because I wish we could have had the chance to like put more into Girls Next Door and we were never given that chance. But I think from, you know, just being kind of put into a corner in the mansion and Girls Next Door is your one outlet. I was frustrated that it couldn't be more than what it was.
Well, I think that there were times where I definitely wanted it to go deeper too and I pushed for it and they just wouldn't allow it to. Yeah. You know, like there was times where, for instance, the first thing that pops to my head is when I wanted to do the egg retrieval mm-hmm. and stuff, like planning my future and thinking about things like that. And it just wasn't part of the show. That wasn't.
Yeah. Like that would have been a whole other deeper, more relatable thing. And mm-hmm. they could have filmed it in the same style and made it cute and funny and lighthearted. But then there's something more for those who are paying attention.
Right. And I feel like there were other things that I came across too that were definitely had deeper in it. And I, even with my brother in the military and stuff like that, like I feel like we could have dove deeper into that and just different things like that. And it never hit there.
I think that's why doing this podcast is so appealing to me, is it's finally a chance for me to go really fucking deep on everything we went through and just add other layers for people who like enjoy that storytelling and enjoy hearing behind the scenes. And I'm like, yes, I can finally do something with this.
Yeah.
I think that's why it's so satisfying to me.
Yeah. Talk about all the things that I was thinking or feeling at that time, or all the other things that were going on that were too deep for the show to film.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So the next, it's the same scene, but Kendra says she needs to tell Hef her good idea.
Yeah, and Hef's reaction to it, I don't know how I feel about it, because he looks at the camera, breaks the fourth wall, which is something we're not really allowed to do.
Yes.
But he breaks the fourth wall and he goes, oh, great, a great idea, really sarcastically. And it's another one of those moments where I roll my eyes, because a lot of certain types of behavior coming from women was really encouraged. Like anytime somebody acted, you know, bimbo-like, for lack of a better term, I don't know, it was like really encouraged. Like the more naive and cute and unassuming and, you know, uncalculated you could be, that was like better. But then you're also going to make fun of somebody because, oh, can't wait to hear what's going to come out of her mouth. Great idea. Yeah. Like, I don't like that. Like, pick a lane.
Yeah. Because like you said, he looks straight at the camera and is like making fun. Like, oh, here it is, folks. The good idea of the night. Like, here it comes.
Yeah.
Everybody buckle up. Kendra's got the good idea and he's clearly making fun. And on one hand, it comes off funny, but on the other hand, I totally understand what you're saying. Like, it's belittling. Well, she says, it's an idea that I came up with in the car. We go to the Little White Chapel and we all get married. And they play like wedding music, and Hef says, aw, isn't that sweet? And then you chime in and say, except Hef's not divorced yet. And you blow your tongue like you did the like raspberry thing. And you're clearly annoyed though.
I'm annoyed for a lot of different reasons. I was trying to think of like, what's even the main reason I'm annoyed?
Yeah.
I think reason number one, and the reason I chimed in and said what I said, is I just was sick of the situation. I was sick of just ignoring the fact that like Hef is still married and, you know, he's telling me all this shit on one hand, but not making any moves to like, you know, actually have like a one-on-one relationship. So that was annoying. It was annoying to me that being in a relationship that included respect was something that was very important to me. And I always talked about wanting to be married, but like, Kendra can joke about it like, oh, you know, Holly's talked about this seriously, but I'm just going to joke about it and we're going to do it. Because mm-hmm. Do you think she kind of thought that that might be something we could go do? Like if he wanted that publicity?
Absolutely.
Yeah. No, I think she was serious. Like I know people at home are probably going to be like, oh, she's totally joking. Maybe partially, but I don't think she was totally joking. I think she thought that that could be a really cool publicity move that we could go do.
I think so too. And that we should do it for the publicity.
Yeah. So that was annoying.
Not to really all be married.
Yeah.
But for the publicity. So yeah, I definitely think that she meant it. And I felt like that you were annoyed about this too. And this is just my take on it. But I just felt like, here you are, like you seriously want to marry him at this time and you seriously are in love. And then here's Kendra being like, we should just do it as a publicity stunt. Like, I'm going to say it and then we're going to finally go and do it now.
Exactly.
And it's just like, she doesn't have any intentions of wanting to marry Hef or be actually in love in that way with him. And I feel like it's trying to steal away like kind of your thing.
I feel like that too, because at this point in the show, we've already seen the show, episodes have aired, so we kind of understand what our quote unquote roles are, like the corners we've been pushed into.
Well, not speaking of that, but speaking of like weddings and things like that, do you notice there's a ring that Kendra is wearing? And I've noticed it in several episodes now. And I just thought, oh, it's just a ring. I'm not going to bring that up because it's not a big deal. But it's very wedding ring-ish. And she doesn't wear it on a wedding ring finger. She wears it on the middle finger. But I wonder, it's weird. I feel like it's very weird.
That's weird because that's not her style at all.
Yeah. Well, I'm just curious. I'm curious if anybody else has ever noticed it. There's a scene when we are going to New York when she's getting on the plane and she's buckling the seatbelt and you see it. Mm-hmm. I think that might have been the first time I really was going to say something about it and then decided not to. But I was just curious what other people think. The ring could be just like a cheapo from Forever 21. I have no idea. Like, I'm not trying to insinuate there's something more here, but I'm just curious if anyone else has noticed it, and I'm curious why she wears it all the time. So this little like scene continues to go on, and so Holly says, you know, except Hef's not divorced yet, and then Hef says, well, all the more delicious and dangerous. And then you're
just say, for some reason, that comment grosses me out. So just the way he says it, I'm like,
well, you do not look amused at all. You totally roll your eyes.
Yeah.
At it.
Like, I thought it was gross then. I think it's gross now.
And then she says, but I got a good idea though. And the record scratches and Hef whips his head around and says, another good idea, folks. Also in the car.
God.
And Kendra says, no. Okay. This is a thing for publicity. We just show up there and we look like we're going to get married, all of us. And we'll get so much publicity. It'll be up the wall. And I just want to make note that these conversations are literally happening over the top of me while I am eating bread and butter, like I'm eating popcorn, just watching this all go down.
Yeah, and this is a really loud restaurant, too.
Yeah, so they're like over the top of my plate having this. And then Hef says, and then we're arrested, and she's completely shocked. And she's like, wait, it's against the law? Like, she does not know.
Yeah.
And Hef explains that marrying a whole bunch of people is against the law. They've tried it a few times in Utah, but busted them. And then Kendra says, okay, well, you can just marry Holly and we'll be the maids of honor. And Hef chimes in and says, the bridesmaids, and then we all have a honeymoon together.
Because he can't resist.
Yeah.
Like Kendra actually tries to say something like supportive and nice of me at one point, but he can't even let that rest. Oh, then we all have to fuck after. It's like, you're gross.
Yeah, that kind of grossed me out.
Ew.
Too. But I will say that something very interesting about this is because we don't know like what we're going to see at the Wax Museum. Mm-hmm. And so there's a scene that's going to happen later at the Wax Museum. And the fact that Kendra is talking about this marriage stuff right now, I feel like tied in together so perfectly well to have some really shocking previews. Like to get people, like they show me in a veil with like a,
I see what you mean.
And Kendra talking about, we should all get married. Like, and if I remember right, the promos for this episode coming up.
Oh, that
were
makes
like
sense.
Really good.
Like making it look like we were all going to get married.
Somebody got married.
That is so funny.
Because it also shows me in interviews saying, I had no idea there was a wedding in store for me this weekend.
Oh my God.
Or that I was getting married this weekend or something to that effect. Uh-huh. And I remember them, they cut all of those pieces about like, there's a wedding coming in this next episode. And it's the season finale. They milked
this.
That's
amazing.
They milked this, which I think is amazing editing.
Yeah,
like
that's
really
good.
Funny. And I like the way it went after that, but still. All right. Next scene, we decide to go play blackjack because we have like an hour to kill before we have to go to this party. Mm-hmm. And I say in an interview that I've only once sat at a casino table before and I was not the one playing. I was just watching somebody else playing. And we're walking through the casino. And I do have to say, it's really popping at the Palms.
It really is.
And Hef said he would like $500 chip for each girl that's playing. And I remember being so nervous about playing. Like I was like freaking out. Like I sort of didn't want to play because I just thought it was too scary and a $500 chip. Like I don't even know what to do with that. I know how to play blackjack. Like just, I know you need to get 21.
Yeah.
Like that's, but that's what I know. And that's it. You say in the interview that we decided to go play some blackjack because it's not really Vegas if you don't gamble. However, you don't gamble.
No, I don't. And I never have. I am so cheap, you guys. Like, I, no, I don't think there's anything wrong with gambling. Like, I've been a dealer before. I worked at a casino for so many years. Like, if you want to do it, go do it. But you guys need to know, like, I just do not waste my money.
Wait, you've still never gambled?
No, never.
Oh my God. So I'm not a gambler either, but I don't mind, like, my idea of gambling is going and like the little digital machines, like the video poker, mm-hmm. putting in $20 and like playing for as long as I can on that $20 and getting a free drink while I'm there. Like, that's my kind of gambling. So that I like, but sitting at the table, I was terrified of. And after this experience, I never, ever wanted to do it again in my life. Like, I was so scared to sit there. And there's a shit ton of people around us. Like, so many people watching. Jillian plays. I play. Crystal does not. I don't know why. She's in the background. Mm-hmm. Hef plays. You do not, but you're sitting right at the table. Mm-hmm. And Kendra plays. But we'll get to that in a second here. And I'm talking to Hef and I say, I think I should get another card, don't you think? And he snarkily looks at me and says, well, we're all going to get another card. Did you notice that? Yeah, we're all getting another card.
I didn't notice that, but that's so dumb. Very like what he does.
And I'm just like, okay, I know how to play that, but like, I'm just saying, like,
you're being conversational because the cameras are on you, first of all.
Yeah. And I'm like talking strategy with him. Yeah. Like, what should I do here? Like, I think I should get another card. And he's like, well, we're all getting another card. Yeah. Like, okay, well,
Jesus.
And then all of a sudden, my turn was skipped. And you guys, I'm not fucking around about this. They fucking skipped my turn. And then he takes my chip because I lost. I did not do anything. I did not say, no, I don't want a card. Yes, I want a card. It's all on camera. And he fucking skips my turn and takes my card. And I was like, they said, well, you waved him. He said, the dealer says, you waved me off. And I said, I never waved you off. And this is on fucking camera. I am not waving anybody off.
I wonder if he's nervous because he's on camera and flubbed.
They switched out the dealer immediately.
Oh my God.
I was so pissed. And after that, I was like making sure that I like whatever your thing is. Like, I was making a big deal about doing it. I'm still pissed today about this. Nick wanted me to like play at a table with him. And I told him, I don't like the table. I don't like dealers. I feel like they're out to get you. Like, I don't like it at all. I don't want to do it. He made me do it. I just like froze and like had like total PTSD. I know it sounds dumb, mm-hmm. but like, I do not ever want to play at a table.
Oh, man.
And I've only done it that one time since.
Dang.
It's a $500 chip. I'm not fucking around with that stuff. Yeah. Like, I get scared spending $20 on the video poker thing. Yeah. But, like, anytime I'm at a casino, like, I don't even want to look at the tables. I'm afraid they're going to, like, go, you looked at me. You're cheating. Like, I swear. That's what I think. I feel like I sit down at the table and I feel like the pit bosses are all like, there she is. And, like, oh, I just feel like this craziness, like, I don't want anything to do with it.
It's such a strange thing to even happen and do on camera.
Yeah, I know.
It's so weird.
And in the end, I say I did pretty good. I don't remember if I won any money or not. And I say it was a fun way to waste an hour. So video poker is where you'll find me if you find me in a casino.
So was Kendra sitting with us? Because I remember her sitting with us.
Yes.
And she was on the other side of me and got cropped out, right?
Yeah, well, yes. So they don't show her on the DVDs, but I think they showed her playing in the original footage of it.
And the Palms got fined a bunch of money by the Gaming Commission because you're not supposed to have an under 21-year-old at a gambling table.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure she was gambling, wasn't she?
I think so. I think he offered us all chips and I was the only one who wasn't.
Yeah. And it's interesting because I went back to my photos and in the photos, they crop Kendra out, but you can see she's sitting next to you and you can mm-hmm. see her hands and her bracelet and chips in front of her.
Which is interesting that the photographer cropped her out because usually that would never happen because you're trying to get a picture of Hef and the girls for a scrapbook.
Yeah.
But they must have been like, oh, Kendra's not supposed to be at this table. Let's cut out the incriminating evidence. Although they always photographed her drinking. So I don't know. It's just weird.
Well, here's what's interesting too. We don't get those pictures back for a really long time. So maybe
they cropped things her had out already. After. Mm-hmm. Like maybe the Palms was pissed and called up Playboy and is like, okay, if we're going to do this business deal, you need to like wipe that because we're in big trouble.
Yeah, you need to take it off the DVD, like any future airing of this. Mm-hmm. And you also need to cut it out of any photos. We can't have any proof that she was at the table.
Interesting.
That's what I think happened.
It must be, because I remember it being a big deal at the time.
I think it's funny that the alcohol people, alcohol, tobacco, firearms, whoever they are, don't give a shit about somebody under 21 drinking in every single episode of this series. But the Gaming Commission, one like little blip of not even a whole scene, and they're like on their asses and fining them tons of money.
It's 50 crazy.
Grand. 50 grand, you guys. 50 grand the Palms had to play for Kendra to sit at that table.
I noticed my nose looks different in the scene. Because you can see me drinking my drink when we're at the gambling table, and you can see me at profile. And I haven't had anything done to my nose since that scene. But it's just proof that like nose jobs take years to settle.
Interesting.
Because I'd had my nose done like a couple years prior to this scene, but I feel like my nose looks different and smaller now than it does in that scene.
Wow. That's so crazy.
Interesting side note about plastic surgery, guys.
Yeah.
So we're going to pick it up next week when we go to the hardwood suite.
Yeah, there's lots to talk about there.
Oh, yeah, so much to talk about. So you guys, if you want more content, be sure to check out our Patreon at patreon.com/girlsnextlevel. And we'll see you guys next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye.